Father, what a privilege it is this morning to come before your throne, into your presence, to bow our hearts before you, to humble ourselves. We come in Jesus' name. There is no other name on earth or under heaven by which we can be saved. And it is through our faith in Jesus Christ that we have been given the right to be called children of God. And now we can come before you, knowing that you care, knowing that you listen, and we can come knowing that you've invited us. Lord, we just quiet our hearts in your presence this morning. The word of this song, the word that comes to my mind is surrender. I resign. Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you this day. You are trustworthy. We can believe every promise that you've made. You're faithful. You will never fail us. You will walk beside us. You're perfect in every way, God, and we just want to worship you this morning. We don't know how to adequately praise you, but we ask that you would accept our praise this day. God, thank you for the awesome privilege of gathering together as a family of God. We're here to worship you. We're here to learn from you. We invite your Holy Spirit to just be active in this room today. Father, we want to pray for our nation. Critical moment is coming up this Tuesday. We rest in your sovereignty. Your word tells us that you raise up leaders and you put down leaders. We do not know what the future holds, but you do, and we trust you. We pray that you would help each of us to be praying, to act on our civil duty, and then rest, knowing that you are fully in control. God, we love you this morning. We're thankful that we can just rest in you, and you give us exactly what we need daily. Have your way in this service today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we have a full morning today. First, I'm going to ask Derek and Melanie to bring their children up. We have the privilege, and grandparents, if you'd like to come up and just stand here. We have the privilege this morning of dedicating little Cecilia to the Lord. So we want to do that, and then we're going to hear from Mondo and Alyssa. And then, if we have time, maybe I'll preach. We'll see. We don't get out till noon, right? Or so. One day, Jesus, we don't know exactly where he was, but parents brought their children to Jesus for Jesus to lay his hands on them and pray for them. Can you imagine what that would have been like? To be able to bring your child and have Jesus in person, in the flesh, lay his hands on your child and pray for your child. Well, the disciples had other ideas, and the scripture says they rebuked the parents and said, no, just get back. Jesus says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. In fact, we discover later in the scripture that we must come as believers. We must come before him as little children in that simple, trusting faith. Today, Derek and Melanie bring Cecilia for dedication. Derek and Melanie, in presenting Cecilia for dedication, you signify not only your faith in the Christian religion, but your desire that she would early know and follow the will of God, that she may live a life for him and die a follower of Christ, coming into everlasting life. In order for this to occur, it will be your duty as parents to teach her, early the fear of the Lord, to watch over her, education, helping her not to be led astray, to direct her mind towards the scripture and her feet to the gathering of believers, to restrain her from evil associates and habits, and as much as you are able, to bring her up in the training of the Lord. If you will endeavor to do so by the help of God, please answer, I will. Grandparents, you have great influence on your grandchildren. Oh, you may not have the same power or influence as parents, but your prayers, your life, the way you live in front of them will speak volumes to them. You get to spoil them too. That's the fun part. But if you will endeavor to live a Christ-like life before your grandchildren, before little Cecilia, as much as God will help you, please say, I will. Congregation, we have a responsibility as well to live like Jesus in front of this family, to walk alongside them, to pray for them, to encourage them. Everyone that's a parent in here knows that parenting is not for the faint of heart. And if you will do your best as God helps you, as you think of them, will you pray for them and encourage them? If so, answer, we will. This morning, I have the awesome privilege of just praying for this little one, Cecilia Noelle Gunn. I think she'll let me hold her. And then we have a Bible for her, a New Testament for her. Cecilia? Look at this little one. My old pastor would say, isn't she a dilly? I don't know what a dilly is. But let's pray. Father in heaven, it's in Jesus' name that we bring Cecilia Gunn before you. I thank you for Derek and for Melanie, for their commitment, first of all, to you in their personal lives, in their marriage, and their commitment to raise their children for you. As they bring Cecilia to you this morning, they're committing themselves to teach her your ways. And Lord, I don't know what you have planned for Cecilia, but you have placed within her great potential for your kingdom if she follows you. And we pray that her life will be an impact on the kingdom of God. So this morning, as we bring Cecilia Noelle Gunn to you, we dedicate her to you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, asking that you would place a hedge of protection around her, that as she grows, that early she will come to know you as her Savior and her Lord, that she would follow you all the days of her life. And one day, when her life is through, may she have great impact on your kingdom because you've used her. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Derek and Melanie, if you would step over here. Grandparents, you can be seated. We have a New Testament, and the boys have them. And just as I said to them, or to you about them, let her have it. Let her chew on it. This is hers. A page is going to get ripped out, but let her get familiar with the Word. We'll have you sign. Listen, Mondo, if you will come up. Last Sunday, I was supposed to have Alyssa and Mondo share. And at my age, things just don't compute. And I totally blew it. But thankfully, they're here today. And they want to give us just a quick update on what's going on in Costa Rica. Welcome.
Good morning, everybody. ¿Cómo están? There you go. Margo? There you go. It's good to be back here. It's been a long journey with Kilpatrick, and it's always good to be back. It's been good to hear Rocky preaching and encouraging us and challenging us. I don't know if we can get a Kilpatrick in Costa Rica someday. We can move Rocky down and he can be the pastor there. Maybe. Well, my name is Armando. You can just call me Mando. It's that easier for you. This is my wife. I don't know how to say her name.
Alyssa.
I say it in my accent, so. And then we have Tyler that is supposed to be sleeping there. I'm not sure if he is. And then Emma and Nico are in the back. Yeah. What else? Good. Yeah, it's good. It's good to see what God is doing through Kilpatrick in here in the area. All the things that you guys do, and also in the nations. Kilpatrick has been coming to Costa Rica since 2017. That's when we met for a week, and then here we are, almost 8 years later. We have built 7 houses for people that need a house in Costa Rica. We've distributed I don't know how many Bibles to many families. So a lot of families have been blessed by a Bible. We've had people coming down and just serving at the base, building tiny houses, helping us with different projects. A big project that we had just recently was tiling our multipurpose building down there in our base. So, we're really excited to be here and to let you know all the things that Kilpatrick is doing in the nations. Also last year, we were able to go to Mexico, and we did like an outreach there for 2 months. And a lot of you guys were praying for us, were sending us emails, and a lot of support came from you. So thank you so much for that. We were able to ministry a lot of kids, a lot of migrants that were coming through Mexico, trying to get into the States. So, you know, they are stuck there without hope. They've been walking from Venezuela all the way up. So we're able to share Jesus with them. So that's a little bit of all the things that Kilpatrick is doing through us, we can say, but it's actually God doing the work in the nations. So thank you so much for that. Thank you, Rocky. Thank you, Neil. Thank you all the leadership that are with us, are loving our family and believe in what we do. We have a little testimony.
So as Neil was mentioning, this is the shoebox time of year for the Christmas shoeboxes. That's something near to our heart as well, and we always enjoy doing that together here. So we were eating dinner with some friends a few months ago, and she's telling us about this new ministry she started, and we're having a nice little chat, and she says, yeah, and we did these shoe boxes, and she keeps talking. I'm like, wait a second. Let's go back to the shoe boxes. What about shoe boxes? And what color are these shoe boxes? Oh, they're green and red, and there was a shoe box for every kid, and I was like, what? It's my dream to hand out these shoe boxes. I'm going to call my sister. I'm going to call Penny. We're going to come down and hand out these shoe boxes. So we missed the handout, but God knows this desire that we have. He might bring that to fulfillment someday. But we did get involved with this ministry that our friend is doing. We went for the, they had a graduation from the class that goes along with the shoe boxes. So we went to that. There's a bunch of kids. They had little paper graduation hats that the moms had made for them, and it was really neat. So we went also the following week, and I went to translate. There was a team there. There was a young girl sharing a testimony with all these kids and moms. She was sharing with the older kids and the moms, and she shared some intense kind of personal things that she had gone through. And then at the end, there was like a time, like a ministry time, where the team wanted to pray for the girls and talk to them. And so I was helping to translate for that. And this little girl that shared the testimony, she was like 15. She was super bold. She came up to these teenage girls that were from the community, and she said, "I see that you guys have the same scars that I have." And I was like, to translate that, I was like, "Ooh, I don't even know if I want to say that. That's pretty bold." And so, but I translated for her, and she wanted to pray for the girls, and it's going to make me cry to think about it, actually. This is what happened when I was translating, then I couldn't talk. But it was a really beautiful time, and, you know, sometimes the girls, they looked pretty uninterested, like, during the talk, but it was clear that God wanted to do something. So, now we're going to this ministry that we have we have in our hearts now with these kids. That team paid for those girls to go to a youth camp that we hosted at the base, and we're maintaining a connection with them, and our family is going to this ministry. It's fun for the kids to be a part of it, too, and yeah, we're getting excited. A lot of you know about this Christmas party we're planning because we made a wish list, and you guys got 150 gifts. Yeah, that's my testimony. Thank you.
You're making me cry, too. Yeah, just to finish, we sent a newsletter. Some of you are receiving our newsletter. We try to send there every month with the things that God is doing in Costa Rica and in the nations. So if you want to receive that newsletter, you can talk to us at the end. We'll be happy to get your email, and then you will be receiving our updates. Also, if you are 17, 18 years old, and you want to get to know Jesus in a more deeper way for 5 months, this doesn't mean that you're going to be gone and you're going to be a missionary your whole life. It's just 5 months or 5 months of your life dedicated to get to know Jesus in a deeper way. Rocky's been down there. He's taught many kids over there. He's shared his wisdom with many of them. So if you are 17, 18, finishing high school, and you want to 5 months of your life to be dedicated to Jesus, you can talk to us too. If you are 20, if you are 30, if you are 50, you can still do it. Then, one last thing. If you just want to come visit Costa Rica, or if you're in your family, or you get together some people and you want to come and serve with us, we can talk about that too. There's many opportunities that we can put together for you over there, and we can keep blessing. We can keep going, serving, and restoring many. Oh, my shirt. I like it. Neil, on January, we've been doing this trip for, as I said, like the first one was in 17. So we're going to keep doing this trip. This happening this January. It's going to be in San Jose, where we serve. It's not going to be on the coast for 5 hours of driving. It's going to be in San Jose. So talk to Neil if you are interested in doing that. And yeah, we'll see you there in January. Thank you, Rocky.
Thank you, Mondo and Alyssa. Well, one quick announcement of something that is coming up. November 17th, that's 2 weeks from today. Remember about 3 years ago, we went into Woodland on a Sunday, and we served the community in helping that community with their leaves. We're going to do it again. November 17th, one service. November 17th, one service, 9 a.m. November 17th, this is kind of like those commercials on the radio or TV repeated enough times. We're going to have a 9 a.m. service here, and then we're going to meet at the Woodland Park. And we're going to saturate that community, and we're just going to call it the Woodland Leaf Outreach. How about it? All right? So what Sunday are we doing that? November 17th, one service. Amen? You only have to listen to me one time. Hallelujah. That's what some of you are saying. So here we go. Hold on tight. We'll get you out of here before the next service starts. All right? Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. The series is entitled Perfect Hatred. There we go. And I've entitled this message, Fast Feet. The scene was Roosevelt Park in Albuquerque, New Mexico, June of 1971. There was a large crowd of several teens, several hundred rowdy teens in the park, and there was a particular young man that had a warrant out for his arrest, and the police attempted to arrest him. In their quest to arrest this young man, a scuffle broke out, and soon it escalated into a massive brawl. At some point in this scuffle, the police officers opened fire onto the mob, and at least 9 people were wounded. This escalated things to an even higher temperature. About 500 of these teens made their way into downtown Albuquerque, and they began overturning cars and shattering windows, looting stores. Several stores were severely damaged, and others were totally destroyed, and ultimately the New Mexico National Guard had to be brought in to restore calm and peace. This is just one incident which could be repeated again and again and has been repeated again and again across our nation and even across our world, where there is either real or perceived injustice and the result is a mob mentality. When that happens, the lives of people, businesses are damaged and destroyed. The passage that we're looking at this morning fits what happens there. This could be accurately described as feet that are quick to rush into evil. And as we're going to learn this morning, this is something that God hates. He hates feet that are quick to rush into evil. With that, follow along as I read to you Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are 6 things the Lord hates. 7 that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Our focus today is on the 5th thing that God hates, feet that are quick to rush into evil. There are 3 key words I find in this particular portion of the scripture. First of all, feet. Think about your feet for a moment. Feet are our transporters. Feet take us where we need to go. Feet are part of our action. And it seems to me that the point of this particular phrase is that the feet are dealing with our behaviors, the things that we do, our actions, because our feet take us to those places. And then the words quick and rush. They're very similar words and are closely connected. One writer suggested that these terms mean energetic actions performed without wisdom or sense. There's an old phrase that says, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. This is doing something without giving thought to the consequences. Just kind of jumping in. It's the mob mentality, perhaps. And then the word evil. We know what evil is. It's wicked. It's something that is perverse, something that is bad. And so as we look at these key words, let's put it all together using our definition of hate. And here's what it sounds like. God is unable or unwilling to put up with, and he has a feeling of open hostility and intense dislike towards those whose feet quickly, without wisdom or sense, perform an evil act. The question that we've tried to answer throughout this series is, why would God hate these things? Why would God hate feet that are quick to rush into evil? I think to answer that, we need to take a quick look at who God is. What do we know about God? We know a lot about God, but let me show you 3 things. First of all, we know that God is righteous. We know that everything he does is perfect. It's pure. We know, secondly, that God is sinless, There is no sin in him. He never has sinned. He never will sin. He's not capable of sinning. He is perfect in all his ways. We know that he has commanded us to avoid sin. He's commanded us to avoid everything that is evil. Because you see, evil is contrary, completely opposite of God's character. We could say this. We know that he is holy. God is holy. Again, there's nothing impure about him. He is exalted. He is completely set apart, distinctly different than we are. And yet, in some incredible way, we are made in his image. Understanding a little bit about who God is, that he's righteous, sinless, holy. If we do evil, we are engaging in what is called disobedience, or the brief word is sin. Disobedience is rebellion against God. Disobedience is saying, I'll do it my way. I don't care what you say, God. And understanding who God is and understanding feet that are quick to rush into evil, it's not difficult for us to understand why God would hate something that is completely opposite of who he is and his character. Now, my guess is that just as we talked about the wicked heart, the heart that devises wicked schemes last week, we probably would say, I don't have feet that are quick to rush into evil. I don't do that. This doesn't apply to me. But as Lee Corso says, not so fast, my friends, if anybody watches Game Day. This is not in my notes, but Corso needs to retire. They don't need to keep embarrassing him. Poor guy. Anyway, back to the message. If we pause for a moment and try to understand this idea of feet that are quick to rush into evil, I think we would probably discover that there have been moments in our lives when we've been rather quick to do something that just wasn't right. We've jumped into something. We've said something. We've taken steps to do something that just really, it was, when we stop and reflect on it, was wrong. And in the moment, we did it without thinking about it or without thinking about the consequences of it. Throughout this series, I've been beating a drum. Maybe you've picked up on it. All of us are born what? Sinful. We have sin nature. There is a brokenness due to what took place in the sin of Adam and Eve. We're not guilty of their sin, but because of their sin, we have become the inheritors of sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, the reality is we will commit sin. And until you and I come to place our faith in Jesus Christ, there's a problem. We are under the control of this nature called sin. The sin nature, we could describe it like this: wicked, evil, devious. And the person who is controlled by this nature of sin, until they allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse them, this person is under its control and has no problem sinning, especially if the circumstances warrant it. Think about this. If the situation calls for it, if you're under the control of sin, you don't have a problem bending the rules. You don't have a problem compromising your ethics. You can ignore your morals or your values. If I need to lie, I'll lie. If I need to be vengeful, I'll get revenge. If I need to be unkind, hateful, or if I need to slander in order to get what I want, I can do that, and probably without very much guilt of conscience. Again, we're talking about the individual who was under the control of the nature of sin. We're quick to do these things. Now, we could cite many instances where feet quick to rush into evil brought harm or maybe even death to other people. Not every time that feet quickly rush into evil does it do physical harm. If you go back in your memory, 1994, some of you weren't even hadn't discovered America yet, but some of you have. It's the 1994 United States Figure Skating Championships held at Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. There were two figure skaters who were competing. They were right at the top. Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding. They were bitter rivals, both vying for a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. The winner of the U.S. Championships would probably determine who got the spot. Well, Harding was behind a plot which ultimately took Kerrigan out of the U.S. Championship due to a man striking her in the leg with a baton. What was that? Feet that were quick to rush into evil, and it resulted in physical harm. You say, well, where did that come from? Where did this plot, where did this whole thing come from? Could I just tell you? Sinful heart. Sinful heart. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. I would never go that far. There's an old song from my childhood that had these words, sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. And if you and I stay under the control of the sinful nature, there's no telling what you might do. So never say, I would never do that. If you're under the control of sin, you will do more than you ever thought you would do. Now, things like I've just mentioned, the Kerrigan-Harding thing, probably aren't things that we're going to get involved in. I don't think you're plotting to whack the pastor's knees. I'm going to be on guard. But when we think about this idea of feet quick to rush into evil as referring to our behavior, to our actions, to our motives, we might discover that in reality, we have had feet that have been quick to rush into evil. It's rather interesting what people will do to get something that doesn't belong to them. Remember, quick means to do something without thinking, without wisdom, without sense. In other words, making a wrong choice but not even thinking about it. A few years back, I was on an airplane, and I was seated in the aisle, and they were serving the refreshments. And there was a guy seated directly across from me. The flight attendant parked the cart right here, and she was on that side of the cart. And at the bottom drawer of the cart had the little tiny alcohol bottles, you know, Jack Daniels or whatever. And it was just open a little bit, and I began watching because I saw movement out of the corner of my eye, and this guy would go and pull his hand back, and finally, when the flight attendant wasn't looking, he quickly reached in, grabbed, and just like nothing was going on. He wanted it. He didn't want to pay for it. So what happened? His feet/hands were quick to rush into evil. He wasn't thinking about the consequence. He just wanted it. You say, well, I wouldn't do that, but hold on. Have you ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Maybe as you went through the self-checkout, you just forgot to scan that item. They'll never know. Or perhaps there was something at the office that found its way to your house. You justified it by, well, it's only, and they'll never miss it. Folks, that's wrong. To take something that doesn't belong to you, that is feet quickly rushing into evil. Now, let me give you another scenario that you say, well, maybe it doesn't apply to me. Look at this statement. Is it possible that there are moments in our lives where we are quick to do something that isn't right? Here's a scenario. And I'm thinking all of us have been in this scenario before. You're standing around with a group of friends chatting about the weather, the latest football game, the latest fashion, or, you know, just shooting the breeze. And somebody in the group brings up the name of another individual who everybody knows and maybe not everybody really cares about, and they say something negative about that person. What tends to happen in that group? Somebody else pipes up and says, yeah, did you know this? And I heard today, and all of a sudden, without even thinking about it, you quickly rush in and you begin to agree. You add your own two cents because you know something about them too, and you find yourself joining in, piling on the individual with something that you know about them. Ouch. We've all been there, and it's easy to do. And the thing that you say may be true, but it's also something that is going to reflect on that person. The truth is, this amounts to feet that are quick to rush into evil. How about this? If you found yourself in a position where you had information on another person that you could pass on to another person, knowing that your words would cause that person to even dislike the third person more. Here, let me put it like this. Person A doesn't really care for person B. You got it? Person B isn't your favorite person either. And you overhear person B say something negative or derogatory about person A. You know, it's kind of one of those, you know what she said about your mom moments. And now you are in conversation with person A, and you say, do you know what that person said about? And it fires up person A, and now the two of you can kind of say some things, and you step back and kind of enjoy watching them burn because you don't like that third person either. Have you ever been in a position like that? You haven't. Wow. Or maybe you're just sitting there going, oops, yep, been there, done that. This is feet that are quick to rush into evil. Perhaps we could talk about motives. What is the motive behind the actions you take? Are they selfish? Are they sometimes less than noble? If our motives are less than pure, we're going to find ourselves doing things which are not right, rushing into evil. I want to remind us, God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil. Now that was kind of heavy. So let's talk about avoiding evil. Can we avoid behaviors which God hates? Can we avoid doing evil? Okay, that's a question. Yes. Thankfully, the answer is yes. Listen to me. That sounded like a command, didn't it? Listen to me. God changes the course of our lives. When we come to Him, He brings transformation into our lives, and we don't have to live that way anymore. From the moment of salvation, you and I are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the pathway of our life is changed. No longer are we going to run down the evil path. Some of the things we once did, we will no longer do. Some of the things we didn't do, we're going to begin doing. You say, well, how do I do that? How can I avoid feet that are quick to rush into evil? Three things this morning and we'll be finished. Number one, walk in the Word. Psalm 119, 105 says this, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You may get tired of me emphasizing this because I've said it many times throughout my time here. But I'm going to repeat it. If you are going to walk God's way and avoid feet which rush into evil, you must daily be walking in the Word. If God's Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, you need to know what it says. How do you know what it says? You read it. You study it. And this isn't going to take place by accident, folks. You can't put your Bible under your pillow and by osmosis it just goes in. It's not happening that way. If we are going to be in the Word, we will intentionally set aside a time daily to carefully read and contemplate what the Scripture is saying. And then say, Lord, how is this to be applied to me? What does this mean for my daily life? Folks, in order for God's Word to be the illuminator of our path, it's vital that we not only read it and study it, knowing what it says, but we've got to allow it to come into our lives and shape us and mold us in the very way we live. If you and I only read the Word and learn it, have not just knowledge, but don't put it into practice, it would be kind of like buying this large item from IKEA. Have you ever bought anything from IKEA? Oh, boy. It's got instructions. But it would be like buying this large item with multiple pieces and maybe looking at the instructions, but not following them. It's not going to turn out well. We must study it and then walk in it. Walk in it. Secondly, if we want to avoid evil, we must keep our feet from evil paths. In Psalm 119, verse 101, the psalmist says, I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I think there are two basic ways which we know the path is evil or not. First, God has placed within us what we call the conscience. And being made in the image of God, we have a sense of what's right and what is wrong. That's the first way we can understand if it's evil or not. A second way is, this is going to sound like repeat, knowing what the Word says. Knowing what the Word says. And I'm telling you, avoiding every evil path will be something we do with intentionality. Because you know what Scripture teaches? There are some sinful paths which in the moment are appealing and fun. It's Hebrews that speaks about Moses chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Folks, nobody ever said that sin wasn't pleasing, at least for a little while. There are things that, paths that we could walk down that in the moment we go, yes, this is awesome. But listen to what Proverbs 16:25 says. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to, do you know what the word is? Death. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you had a choice to walk down a good path or to walk down an evil path? And in that moment, God maybe brings a passage of Scripture to your mind that says, this is the way you walk. A few weeks back, I was in conversation with somebody in our community, a fellow believer. They don't attend here. But they were sharing with me a concern about another believer in the community who I happen to know and know a few things about. This individual asked me some very pointed questions, which made it really challenging to answer because I knew a little bit about this individual. And there was a temptation in the moment to say more than I should. But God brought to mind the message that I had preached about hands that shed innocent blood and how you've got to be careful with what you say. The words that I could have spoken back to this individual would have been true. But it would have put this individual that they were speaking to me about in a negative light. So in that moment, I had a decision to make. Am I going to follow the Scripture, walk in the Word, keep my feet from evil paths, or am I going to just say some stuff? And thankfully, God helped me take the high road. Was it easy? I had to exercise discipline so that I didn't say something I shouldn't, as well as I had to walk in obedience. Avoid evil paths. And third, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. If I want to have feet that are not quick to rush into evil, I got to keep in step with the Spirit. Paul wrote to the believers in Galatia, and he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Do you realize that at the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're forgiven of sins, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life? We are called to yield control to the Spirit, allowing Him to be the director, the initiator of our words, our actions, our motives, of our very lives. It's surrender. That's what we're called to. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who gives you and I spiritual life. We live by Him. We live by His power. He enables us to walk in the Word and to keep our feet from evil paths. What does it mean to keep in step with Him? It means that we follow His lead. We follow His promptings. We don't run ahead of Him, and we don't lag behind. Listen to what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, John 16, 11. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Folks, keeping in step with the Spirit means that we allow Him to guide us each step of the way. He guides us at home in our marriage. He guides us as we raise our children, as we speak into the lives of our grandchildren. He guides us in the workplace. He guides us in our leisure activities. He guides us in our friendships. And as we keep in step with Him, it will impact our decisions. It will impact our financial decisions. It will impact our hopes and our dreams, because it's not about us anymore. It's keeping in step with Him. What do You want, Lord? Holy Spirit, guide me. Direct my steps. Again, I'm talking about surrender. I would suggest this. If you and I keep in step with the Spirit, we're not going to have feet that are quick to rush into evil. So how am I going to avoid it? Walk in the Word daily. Keep your feet from evil paths. And walk in step with the Holy Spirit. And remember, if you're tempted to quickly rush into evil, God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil. Let's pray together. Father, Your word is challenging. There are times as we read it, it's hard. It may not be the most uplifting. And this is one of those times. God, we don't want to walk down the wrong path. None of us want feet that are quick to rush into evil. My prayer for each of us, me and all of us, is that we would walk in the Word. We would let the Word shape and mold our lives. That we would keep our feet from evil paths. And that we would keep in step with Your Holy Spirit. God, if there's anyone in this room this morning who has not committed their lives to You, I pray today that their hearts would be soft and tender, and that even where they are right now, if You're bringing conviction upon them, that they would confess their sins and say, God, I recognize that I'm sinful. I have a sinful heart that is rebelling against You, and I'm sorry. I believe that Your Son Jesus died in my place on the cross so that I might have eternal life. He gave His blood to cleanse me from my sin. God, would you forgive me? Holy Spirit, move into my life, begin transforming me so that I will no longer walk in evil paths. God, you've not made it complicated for us to turn our lives to you. And you've promised that you would walk alongside us the rest of the way if we would but follow. May hearts turn to you today. Keep us in your care. Keep us in step with your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning. Go live out your faith.